The Extra Mile Podcast. Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast. In this podcast, we follow the progress of fellow runners across the globe as they train for 5Ks, 10Ks, half or full marathons. Visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com and send us your email or audio files at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com.
To episode 134 of the Extra Mile Podcast. This is your host, Kevin, and I'm out today on a completely gorgeous, although probably a little too windy to podcast, afternoon. Today is Sunday, February the 8th, I think, 2015, depending on when you've downloaded it or listened to this show. Just to give you some perspective, it's darn close to 60 degrees today in Cincinnati. Very overcast, almost like it could rain any second, but I don't believe there's any in the forecast. Pretty amazing, huh? Early to mid-February in 60 degrees. I feel like every single day that is better than normal. I'm cheating old man winter. I've had one of the best weeks of training I've had for a long time. Today is, on my normal calendar, the last day of the week for me, although I'm sure on most calendars, Sunday is the first day of the week, but I don't know why. I always pick Sunday as my last day. So, after today's run, I will have had in the low 30s this week, which is quite a bit for me. It'll be my sixth run. So I only took one day off this week, and I didn't really do that by design. There were a few days this week that I was able to sneak home at lunch and get a run in. They're so much easier and quite a bit more pleasant in the afternoon, to me anyway, and obviously quite easier to get in than getting up at 4:40 in the morning. So, on top of that, I have felt really good. Pretty much no aches and pains going on at the moment. Knock on wood. And one of the things I've done is a little bit of ratio playing. And by that I mean, I've mixed up the ratio this week, just to see what the heck. One of the days, I think I tried let me back up. Today I'm doing a 1.5 minute run and a 30 second walk. And I've kind of settled into that ratio. Almost a normal for me anymore, at least through the winter time. So, feeling a little bit better this week, I started playing with that. one day this week, I think it was on Tuesday, just for the heck of it, I tried a 1 minute 45 second run and a 40 second walk. Now, I don't know if it was the ratio, the time of day, the weather, whatever. I felt very good. In fact, it was the first time in months that I came within 5 seconds per mile of breaking the 11 minute pace. It was like right at 11:05 that day. And I remember one day, just for the heck of it, I upped it to a 3:1. And after about a mile and a half to 2 miles, I knew I didn't have it. And once again, I don't know if it was the ratio or just how I felt, but I was running at about a 12:40 pace. So I took it immediately and backed it down to a 1.5 and a 30 second walk again. And my pace immediately picked up to the low 12s. Weird, huh? So what's that tell me? I think, at least at this point, the longer my run interval is, the more tired I get. And inserting something as small as a 30 second walk break rejuvenates me quite a bit. So once again I ask, why would I change the ratio? I don't know. Anyway, really, really good week for me. One of the days this week, we got a storm. Some nasty snow came in. And I was still able to get up early and head out for a really pleasant morning run in this snow-covered neighborhood. One of those... See, I think I picked the pace up that time. Pardon my huffing and puffing. It was one of those crunchy snows. In fact, I put together an episode over at Spreaker, one of my Kevin Unplugged episodes, so you can kind of hear what kind of a day it was if you're interested there. Speaking of Spreaker, I was listening to my buddy Jim at the Seeker podcast. You'll hear him a couple times today, by the way. I was listening to his newest episode, and he brought up a good point that I've made in the past, too. The downside to Spreaker is, for me and for Jim, is that you either have to go out of your way to download the episode and then import it into iTunes, which is not that difficult, but certainly not as difficult as hitting subscribe and letting it do it for you. Or you have to stream it. I don't run with my phone, and I certainly would rather not add that to my data plan. So his point was how Norm was nice enough, and I will add tech savvy enough, to send that to iTunes. So with his podcast, with his Spreaker effort, no effort at all to download it and listen to it. And although you would think someone who has been doing this for pretty much all of 8 years would be able to figure that out pretty easily, but been a while since I've put a new one together as far as a feed goes, RSS feed, submitted it to iTunes. I need to do that, but as it is right now, it's kind of a pain to listen to, but that's okay. What else? Today's episode, lots and lots of race reports, which I think is awesome given the fact that folks, no matter what the weather's like, we're still in the grasp of winter. So, some great races, some upcoming races as well. Like I said, my buddy Jim from the Secret Podcast is going to fill us in on his 2014 as well as plans for 2015. He also has a great race report from Callaway Gardens. That's one of his fortes, I think, describing the races. He does a great job. So he does a better job of actually blogging about it. So if Callaway Gardens or a marathon in Georgia is on your radar, make sure you check that out. My girlfriend Shannon's going to check in too, a couple of times actually, on some of her long runs as she prepares for the 26.2 with Donna, that amazing race in Jacksonville coming up next weekend, I believe. A special place in my heart for that race. I've got kind of a personal relationship with the folks that put that together, including Chris Twiggs, our buddy. And although honestly, I don't have another full marathon on my bucket list, I don't have a marathon in my future right now at all. I would love to go down and do that half. One day. Anyway, Shannon is going to check in. She blogs over at girlsgotsoul.com, and I'll put that in the show notes as well. What else? Of course, my buddy Tim ran the Dopey with his son Michael. The Dopey, the appropriately named challenge of four races in 4 days, consisting of like 49 miles. Whoa. And he did that with his son Michael. And it also happened to be Michael's first ever marathon. I am not at all jealous of Tim and Michael for doing the Dopey. I am, however, overflowing with jealousy that Michael can say for the rest of his life, my first marathon was with my dad. I'm also, since that will never happen with me, I'm also completely jealous of Tim being able to say, I ran a marathon with my son. Good stuff, Tim. Congratulations, Michael. So check it out. Got a few things to talk about at the end of the episode. Y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Kevin and all you extra milers, this is Jim from South Central Pennsylvania calling on the very last day of 2014 to give you my 2014 year in review. And I'm going to try and do it in under 3 minutes because that's what Kevin wants me to do. All right, so this has been basically a year of PRs for me. So just to go over a couple of them, I have a new half marathon PR. I have a new marathon PR. Both are significant not only just for the time, but my half marathon PR, it was actually in Reykjavik, Iceland. Talk about a cool place to get a PR in the first place. And my marathon PR is in Green Bay, which was, of course, right after running around the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field and actually being on the field. So as a born Wisconsinite and a diehard Green Bay Packer fan, that was like a dream come true, just a run there, but never mind get a PR there. So that was just fantastic. I've also run the most half marathons in 1 year than I've ever done in my life, and that was 3, which is significant because I've only run 6 my entire life, and I've done half of them this year. And now to the real big PRs for me. Have to do a lot with total mileage. So for this year, I've run farther than I've ever done in any previous year. I ran 1,536 miles this year. I can still remember back to years when, you know, I would do about 700, 800 and go, well, that's about all I'm going to get done. And that would be in December. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I'd get to October and just quit. So this is a real huge accomplishment for me. And one of the ways that I did this was I actually ran a minimum of 101 miles every single month this year. Never done that before. I now also have a weekly mileage PR, which was actually set last week, and I ran 66 miles last week. The most I've ever run prior to that was 52 and change, and I actually did that by running 2 marathons back-to-back. So I've actually run farther in just training runs than I did when I ran 2 marathons in the same week. Incredible. And then finally, and I just completed this one today, I have completed the month of running, obviously, for December, and I've completed it with an even 200 miles. I can't even remember ever wanting to run 200 miles, never mind, of course, just doing it. It really was kind of a last-minute thing that I kind of picked up on, and I just kind of set my sights on it and said, you know what, I'm not letting go of this one. I'm going to do it if it kills me, and I'm here to tell you, it didn't kill me. So, yay. So that's all I have. It just, you know, I could sit here and babble about how psyched and happy I am that I was able to do all these things in, you know, 365 days. But, you know, who wants to listen to that? Certainly not me. So, anyway, I, of course, want to just end by wishing you all a very happy new year. And I hope all your wishes come true in 2015. Thanks for listening to me. Thanks for all of those who listen to my podcast as well. And we'll look forward to seeing you again here next year. And until then, you all enjoy your extra mile.
Hey, Kevin and all you fellow extra milers. This is Shannon from Orlando, Florida, girlscoutsoul.com. I'm trying this again because the recorder decided to cut me off. I guess it didn't like that I was talking about weather. Anyhow, I ran my second to last training run for the 26.2 with Donna yesterday, my 23-mile training run in the nasty humidity that is Florida on and off this time of year. Sometimes we have it cooler and sometimes we don't. Florida likes to keep you on the edge and you just never know. So that's how it goes. So it was pretty foggy as well. We had some very thick fog at our 3:30 a.m. start. You heard me correct, 3:30 a.m. We started running. I ran 8 miles with, there was 5 of us doing that, and then we met the rest of the folks. Some of them were doing 6, some of them were doing 12, and we basically swapped out people. Some of them are doing different mileage. I led the 12 milers, so that gave me a total of 20 by the time I got back. And I had 3 more to do with my fellow marathon trainee who was doing her first marathon. She's actually doing it at the end of the month. So by the end of it, I was definitely glad to be done. Even though this is my 4th marathon, it's not usually a completely fun experience training. But I always keep in mind that, especially when I'm running for Donna, it's like I'm running for this great, amazing cause that I fully believe in. And if these folks can go through chemo, I can get my butt out there and I can run and deal with the muscle pains and all that fun stuff. And because I'll be fine in a couple days, and it's nothing compared to what they go through. So God bless them. So I'm feeling okay today. I mean, mostly the issue is quad soreness. So, but I'm sure I'll be fine probably tomorrow or definitely by Tuesday morning when I'm going to be running up probably 3 or 4 miles again. I did hit the gym today to do a little bit of bike to try to loosen up that lactic acid. But I'm definitely getting excited about Donna. I will hope to see some of your fellow extra milers there. And if you are going to be there, let me know. And we can hopefully do a little meetup. I'll be there from Friday until Sunday after the race. Again, this is Shannon calling from Orlando, Florida, and I'm a blogger over at girls.soul.com. Thanks.
Greetings, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is Derek from Oroville, California, home of MarathonJourney.com and Marathon Journey, the broadcast in the foothills of the beautiful Sierra Nevada, with a race report. We recently returned from Walt Disney World and the Goofy Challenge, that wonderful set of races that we have been training so hard to get through. And I tell you, I'm glad that it is over. Now, the medals were great. The bling is fantastic. And really, that's why you sign up for these things anyway. Oh, I'm so glad that the training is over. These back-to-back runs, really not my cup of tea. And one of the things that I learned was I don't want to be an ultra runner. And I don't want to have to hammer out back-to-back runs. But we did it. Now, we showed up, and the weather forecast was that it was going to be nasty for the full, decent for the half. What it ended up being was freezing cold for the 5K, and I'm glad we weren't there for that. Really cold for the 10K, and we were at the expo for that. For the half, it was cold, and I normally bring all of my throwaway gear with me, and we throw it away or donate it, re-gift it back to a charity from whence we bought it from. I got to tell you, on the half marathon day, I did not lose any of my throwaway clothing, wore every bit of it clear to the finish line because it was chilly. Now, for the full marathon, it was a little bit chilly in the morning, but I did, by the time we got to the Contemporary, manage to throw away all of my rental clothing and finished in fairly decent shape. Instead of being warm, as soon as the sun came out, the clouds came back in and it began to rain. And we had intermittent rain and some wind. And so as far as the temperature goes for running, fairly decent, because it was a little bit chilly for me, but just right for running. Well, what ended up happening was we ran faster than we thought we were going to run. We ran faster than we had scheduled to run, and we felt really good. And if you've seen my finish line picture from the marathon, managed to get up and click my heels even. But 2 hours later, I was projectile vomiting and sleeping. One thing about going to the Magic Kingdom and that wonderful place where all those children are, you'll manage to pick up a bug. So in spite of running well, I got sick. Well, as soon as I was beginning to feel halfway decent again, my mother-in-law ended up going in for open-heart surgery, so we had to pack our bags and head home. So it was a much shorter trip than we had scheduled, and by the time I was feeling decent, it was time to head home. Now it's time to get back on the road and start training for our next marathon, which isn't until next month with the Little Rock Marathon in Little Rock, Arkansas. So in the meantime, we're going to have to fill in with some hefty marathon mileage. Tomorrow, we're heading out to a local 10-mile race, support our local race promoter, and do a distance that we don't normally do. How about you? Have you been getting out there, hitting the pavement, making sure you put in those miles? All you have to do is open up that door, put one foot in front of the other, and if you do that, I'll be seeing you out there on the road.
Greetings, Kevin, and fellow Extra Mile Podcast listeners. This is Jim from south of Council Bluffs, Iowa. It is Friday, the 23rd of January, trying something new. I'm actually recording this on my voice recorder on my smartphone, and then I'm going to email it rather than just call in on the cell phone to see if maybe the quality will be just a little bit better. But I digress. The question posed a while back was, I think it was by Chris Russell. It was somebody wanting to know about how in the heck do you run on the treadmill and do so without losing your mind? Well, I guess I'm probably a pretty good one, a pretty good person to maybe chime in on that. I used to run, I've been running, this is my 40th year. I'm 63, going on 64 years old. I've been running for 40 years. And I used to run outside no matter what the weather. It didn't make any difference here in the Midwest. It can get awfully bad sometimes. But, you know, I know the worst weather I ever ran in was a 40 below wind chill, snowing, blizzard at night. And that was stupid. But as I tell people, you can always tell a runner. You just can't tell him much. But back about 1995, 96, somewhere in there, we bought a treadmill. And that's when I started running indoors on the treadmill in the wintertime. And haven't stopped since. When it gets too cold and the weather's bad, I come inside. I run on the treadmill. Over the course of a bunch of years, I've run probably close to maybe 10 treadmill marathons. I call them Marathon to Hell, 26.2 miles of fun on a treadmill. And usually I'm always working my long runs up through January, February, March, and about the middle of March or so is when I run the treadmill marathon. I don't have a problem running on a treadmill at all in terms of motivation. If you're a runner, you're a runner and you're going to run. And if you want to run outside, run on a treadmill, you know, you're running because it's something that you do. It's part of your lifestyle. You know, I watch movies. I've got DVDs. I used to have videotapes because that's how long I've been running on a treadmill. But now DVDs of old television shows. Every year I go through the old television show Paper Chase. There's 58 episodes, and I just about know the dialogue on a lot of those. But you know, that's one thing I do. Of course, I listen to running podcasts. When they're not around, I listen to genealogy podcasts, whatever, bicycle, bike riding podcasts. I don't have a problem putting one foot in front of the other. I just do it because it's part of what I do. So, you know, this morning I did 10 miles on the treadmill at about an 8:15 average pace. I tried to duplicate with elevations and speeds what I would usually do on a 10-mile run if I ran my hill route on the Wabash Trace Trail, where I usually run all my runs once the weather warms up. But, you know, the one good thing about running on a treadmill in the wintertime is it allows you to get on that treadmill in shorts and a shirt, T-shirt, singlet, you know, minimal clothing. Whereas if you go outside, you know, you're going to wear long pants if the weather's, well, for me, 32 degrees or more, and I'm wearing shorts. Anything less than that, then I go to the long pants. You know, you layer how many layers? Two or three layers, plus maybe a jacket for wind, gloves and a hat. You know, the amount of clothes that you wear running outside in the wintertime affects your pace. I can run faster on a treadmill with minimal clothing on, excellent footing. You know, that's another thing in the wintertime. If you got snow on the ground, you know, your footing's not as good. So in my mind, and I think it's true, you're not getting the quality workout outside with a ton of clothes on, questionable footing, versus a treadmill where you can vary your elevations, vary your pace. You can make a treadmill workout what you want it to be in terms of how easy or how hard. So again, if you're a runner, it doesn't make any difference where you're running. You're going to get your run in because it's just something that you got to do. OCD. We're all if we're runners, we all have, as Barney Fife on Andy Griffith's show would say, we have a compulsion. Anyway, that's it. Hopefully the new format maybe is a little better in terms of voice quality. That's my take on treadmill running. I don't have a problem with it at all. The treadmill we've got is a Pacemaster. Like I said, we got it in 1996. A couple of 3 years ago, we finally had the bed replaced and the belt replaced. That treadmill's got well over 15,000 miles on it. So if anybody's looking for a quality treadmill, and they ask me, I would recommend a Pacemaster. Now, it doesn't have all the bells and whistles that a lot of these things have now with all the digital displays and everything. You know, it just, you punch in your time and your pace and, you know, it counts down your time. But, you know, you pay for what you want in terms of bells and whistles. But in terms of a well-built machine that obviously lasts, we got that Pacemaster, and it's if it blew up tomorrow, you know, we'd go get a new one, and I could not complain. We have got our money's worth out of that sucker. That's it, Kevin. Hope all is well. Hope everybody's winter is going well. Everybody stay safe, stay warm, depending on where you're at, of course. But hopefully we'll do this again, check in down the line. Thanks for all you do, Kevin. Talk to you guys later. Jim from South of Council Bluffs, Iowa. Bye.
Hello, Kevin, and all the Extra Miler listeners. This is Tim from Signal Mountain with a dopey race report. My youngest son and I are happy to report we were successful in completing the dopey challenge. You know, 4 races, 4 days, and 49 miles. This was my son's first full, and you know, he got the full measure of trying to do everything in one weekend, and he did a great job. Yeah, we stuck to our plan of running each race about 30 to 60 seconds slower per mile than normal, and it worked real well for us. We were able to finish each race feeling really good. In fact, we went to the park on Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. We skipped Saturday in preps for the full on Sunday. This was my fourth Disney full. And as always, the Disney folks do just a fantastic job on the logistics for all the races. The support is there. You know, numerous water stops and plenty of food stops for the full. Never had a problem with hydration during the races. The only thing not under their control was the weather, and it was cool and windy for the first 3 races. In fact, you know, for you folks that live up north, this isn't cold, but the wind chill was about 28 on Thursday, and it was in the 30s Friday and Saturday. And then on Sunday, it actually was in the low 50s, so it wasn't too bad. But we did have rain, at least for us, for miles about 21 to 23, just a light rain that really didn't feel too bad, and it felt pretty good. You know, we enjoyed each of the races, and they all had a different feel and energy from the crowd and the participants. Now that I've done both the goofy and the dopey, I'm pretty convinced you can have, if you have done a marathon, you can run the dopey or the goofy challenges without much problem. You just have to do a slight modification to your training to pick up two long runs on a weekend, so it wasn't too bad. We did see many runners using the Galloway run, walk, run method on Saturday and Sunday. You'd hear the interval timers going off, and you'd see them stop. They'd raise their hands to tell everybody, hey, that we're about to stop. Now, one side note, we ran into Dr. Amanda in the corral for the half. Very interesting. My son was wearing his Galloway 13.1 shirt, and she recognized it and said, oh, yeah, hey, I did that race. We started talking and realized we were both at the meetup before the race, and it just so happened, you know, and then we kind of recalled some things. So it was real interesting. We had an enjoyable time talking about the race and running. You know, it really is a small world, but here we were. There were over 20,000 at the Disney race, and we were able to run into one of the 20 other extra milers that had come to Atlanta for the meetup prior to the Galloway 13.1. Really interesting, but you know, shows small world. So again, it was a good weekend for us. We really enjoyed it, and don't know if we'll do it again, but we're already thinking about it. So anyway, that's all for the update, and we'll talk to you extra milers later. Bye.
Hola, hola, mucho aire. Bueno, no hay mucho para correr por aquí, es muy...
para correr, está mal.
Peligroso.
Sí, sí. Si te doblas el pie...
Estoy fastidiado. Bueno, voy a seguir después de este experto de la montaña. Entre él y tú estamos corriendo, medio corriendo y hiking. Bueno, sí. Buena suerte, señor. Okay, so, Kevin, yes, I'm in Spain, running on the mountain trail. I've just been passed by an expert runner. I was just adjusting my device to record this little snippet for your show, the Extra Mile podcast. A hiker had caught up with me from behind, and the runner went by me like we were both standing still. But now I'm beginning to make some headway on the hiker. They detect my accent as being extranjero, a stranger. I'd rather be thought of as a stranger than a tourist. I'm not on a tour. I just relocated myself from Victoria, BC, Canada to Cuyera, Valencia, Spain. The runner has just crested one of the many hummocks, rises on this rich trail. Excuse me, that was my porridge. Yes, indeed. I have established my kitchen here in Spain, and I have chicken and rice to go back to. I've been running for about an hour and a quarter, and I will be looking forward to my lunch quite soon. Real time here is 12:17. That would be Spanish East Coast time, 1 hour behind London time. I'm at my mother's beach flat, staying for the month of February. You will have more than one submission from me, and I will be looking forward to sending them to you. It is quite windy here. I'm trying a little acoustic experiment. I am recording with my iPhone inside my hoodie, inside my sweatshirt, I should say. And that should cut the wind noise out. And because the microphone for the phone is right under my chin, basically, my voice should dominate the sound of the wind. Well, I hope to finish this run uninjured, as I say, in about 25 minutes from now. It will probably have given me about 11 kilometers of running and hiking. So, this is your friend, Carlos, the running jackal, communicating with you from Spain. I'm just seeing another runner coming towards me. I think that's the guy that I saw before. Yes, it is. So this is Carlos saying goodbye.
Hello, Kevin and all you extra milers. This is Jim from South Central Pennsylvania, and the host of the Seeker Podcast and Runners Anonymous blog. And I'm calling with a race report. So the race I'm talking about is the Callaway Gardens Marathon, which takes place every year in Pine Mountain, Georgia. The race was just this last Sunday, which was the 25th of January. Now, this race is number 24 for me, so this is my 24th marathon now. And this was state number 16, so only 34 more states to go. As I mentioned previously, I have my own podcast and my own blog, and I did do a race report on my blog and a podcast episode about this race on my podcast, so I'm sure Kevin will link to both of those so you can get even more detail, because I'm going to keep this relatively brief. So Pine Mountain, Georgia is, and Callaway Gardens is fairly easy to get to. It's only about an hour south of Atlanta. It's mostly one highway. I think it was 85 was the name of the highway that you're on. So fairly easy to get to, and Atlanta's an easy airport to get to as well, too. It's a fairly inexpensive marathon, as long as you're not one of these wait to the last minute to sign up kind of people. And it was $65. And the whole race takes place inside the gardens, and it takes place on either paved access roads or paved walking paths. So it is not a trail marathon. I don't want anybody thinking that because it's in a garden and part of it turns into a trail marathon. Although I will tell you, part of it feels like a trail marathon because it is rather hilly. But we'll get to that later. Now, because part of it does happen on the access roads, the roads aren't closed to traffic. Traffic can only legally travel 20 miles an hour. So you will see a few cars about every 5 to 6 miles, but that was about it. It is a half marathon course. So marathoners, that means you got to do it twice. And I already mentioned this, but bears mentioning again, this is a fairly hilly course. There are some pretty good hills right between miles 7 and 8. And of course, you see them again at, it's like 18 to 20 on your second loop. So you kind of have to budget for that stuff. In addition to that, the first four and a half miles are significantly downhill. So you will find that you're trashing your quads pretty early if you're not careful. The race itself is extremely small. This year had only 65 people doing the marathon. Now, like most of these races, more people come and do the half marathon. So, you know, you're in with a gaggle of people at the beginning. And then after the first lap, all of a sudden, you know, they all evaporate, and it's just you and the other marathoners. But because there was only 65 of us, you know, in some marathons, you know, obviously things thin out after the half marathoners are done. But in this one, you were isolated. So this one really felt a lot more like a training run for the second lap than a traditional marathon, because there were entire miles where I didn't see a soul. The course was well enough marked so you weren't going to get lost. But literally, I could have looked ahead of me. I could look behind me. I didn't see anybody. And there were a number of miles that you're it. There's no one around you. So you have to be prepared for that if you're going to do this race. If you need all the bells and whistles that come with a regular marathon, this is not the marathon for you. The weather for January was absolutely ideal. Certainly somebody coming from southern Pennsylvania. The start was 36 degrees, and at the finish, it was about 56 degrees. It was sunny the entire time, so 36 probably felt more like 39, 40. But yeah, it was great. I ran in shorts, short sleeves, and I was perfectly good. I needed some gloves for the beginning of the race, for probably the first 8 miles, until the real chill kind of burned off. But then after that, the gloves came off, and I'd say two-thirds of the race was literally just shorts and short sleeves. The course itself is absolutely gorgeous. Now, I mean, it's Callaway Gardens, so you would kind of expect that, you know, they've done some work on the landscaping here. There is a golf course that's kind of interspersed in there, so every so often you get a look at the golf course. Which, you know, if it's a decent golf course, those are always pretty to look at as well, too. But the whole thing, like I said, is in this kind of nature preserve kind of thing. So, you know, there is no industrial area that you run through. There are no dilapidated houses you run by. You don't run through, you know, the ghetto. You don't see homeless people. I mean, all the stuff that you might see in a city marathon, you will not see here. It is just you and nature. And again, as long as you like that, this is a just gorgeous, gorgeous course. And even in January, I mean, when nothing is blooming, it was still a gorgeous course. I would say all that, there were a lot of missed opportunities in this race, and so I would probably say this is a race that has a lot of potential. But just has a lot of stuff that it really needs to work on. First of all, it has a pretty much a non-existent expo. The expo is easy enough to get to, but let me tell you what the expo is. So it's packet pickup, which is literally packet pickup was, I think, 2 8-foot tables. And there were two tables that had different types of running stuff on it. I'm not really even sure why they even bothered to try to make it look like an expo, because it looked sad, to be quite honest. It looked sad. There are very few volunteers for this race. Some of the water tables had one person. That was it. And to be quite honest, based on the mood of a number of the people that I ran into, I'm not convinced that these were necessarily volunteers. They very well may have been employees of Callaway Gardens and were just told, hey, this is your shift for today. And the reason I say that is because there were a number of people who, volunteers, employees, whatever they were, certainly if they were volunteers, were rather sour. And I have a hard time believing that somebody would volunteer for somebody and then sit there for however many hours the volunteers are there for in a bad mood. I would think that probably your average person would probably just bail if they didn't want to be there. And it was pretty obvious that there were a few people at the water stops that just did not want to be there that day. So that's what got me thinking that maybe these weren't even volunteers at all. They were actually just paid employees were told, hey, you know, you're going to go and sit outside in the cold for 4 hours while these people run around. Speaking of the course, so there is no on-course food, i.e. gels or bananas or, you know, what have you. The only thing there are is the water stops, which were about every 2.5 miles, and they had pre-made Gatorade and water, and that was it. And to be quite honest, only for the first lap were you also guaranteed that somebody was going to be manning that table. There were a number of the tables on my second lap that the volunteer, employee, whoever, they had taken off. They were just long gone, and it was just, you know, water and Gatorade just left there for you to grab as you went by. There also is very limited post-race food. It was bananas and trail mix bars, and that was it. That's all you got. There also was no bottled beverages at the finish. You know, where a lot of marathons, it will hand you a bottle of water you can walk around and drink. And more importantly, you can take with you in the car and continue to hydrate as you leave. This, no, it was still the paper cups, the Gatorade, and the water, and they just had it in jugs. So you weren't going to be taking any fluids with you. You're going to have to drink them all there. And then finally, without a doubt, the worst marathon medal ever given out. I don't even need to see anybody else's marathon medal tell you this has got to be the worst medal ever. It was simply this very thin stamped medal, Chinese medal, because, you know, that was probably the biggest thing that was printed on the actual medal was the words China, with this very elementary school looking sticker that said Galloway Gardens on it. Now, I don't run marathons in order to get the bling. I like it only because, really, you know, it's a reminder that you've done it. It's proof that you've done it. But I kind of like to see what the area or the race comes up with to try and represent their particular event. So, you know, some of them will come up with, you know, they're wooden. Some of them are metal. Some of them I've heard have even been glass. And I think all that stuff is really, really cool. And I think if the race looks to try and capture the spirit of their community, well, that's really what matters. You know, I don't really care that it's as big as a dinner plate or something like that. But this was just, you could just tell they went to some discount store and got a bunch of cheap medals, put this little sticker on it, and that was it. So really a huge disappointment, and if you go and you read my race report, you will find that I gave this race the lowest mark for a marathon of all the marathons I've done. It got a 6.5. 6.5 means it was fair. And the reason it did so well was because the course itself was so absolutely gorgeous. Had it been just a regular marathon course, this would not have fared well at all. So, you know, if I lived in the area, I would probably do this race again just because I found it very pretty. I'm not sure I would ever suggest somebody go and travel a great distance to go do this. I certainly would tell you not to stay at the Mountain Creek Inn, which is where I stayed. And if you want to know why, you'll have to listen to the podcast or read my race review, because it's all in there. So there it is. But, you know, that counts. There's Georgia. Georgia's done. So we're moving on. So next month I will have another race report from the Central Park Marathon in beautiful Manhattan. So until then, you all enjoy your extra mile.
Hey, Kevin, all you extra milers. This is Shannon calling from Orlando, Florida. and otherwise known as the Girl Scout Soul. I might sound a little tired. I have not napped, actually, yet. I just ran a little over 25 miles this morning. On the agenda was 26, but we ended up cutting it a bit short. It basically rained the entire time that we ran. I was soaked from head to toe. I don't believe there was one part of my body that was dry. It's not exactly very fun. It wasn't like it was warm out and it was just a little drizzle or light rain. We had times that it was pretty downpour and it was pretty consistent. We had a couple reprieves, but you definitely couldn't dry off. So that was probably my hardest run as far as weather-wise, and I didn't think that anything could top the 2013 Donna Marathon, my first marathon with the 30s and feeling like it was in the 20s with the wind chill, but I don't know. I don't like the cold, but I think I might take that over a continuous downpour. It might be a bit of a toss-up, but I don't know. Anyhow, I got it done, and we had some first-time half marathoners in our Galloway group that did their first 13 and plus miles this morning, so that's exciting. We're all doing the Donna full and half. I've convinced some more of my group to come out to Jacksonville, which makes me very happy because I'm an ambassador for that race, as some of you may know, and I just love the Donna. Pretty much at this point, we're in taper for the Donna, and I'm definitely happy about that. I'm sure that as the next couple weeks go on, I will be anxious to run, but hopefully I can keep that in mind my last long run here, which since I got home, I realized my toes are now prunes, white prunes, so it's not exactly very exciting as far as that's concerned, but that's how we have to live sometimes as runners. We have to go through some crazy weather and issues. But, you know, it's nothing I regret doing. I just wish the weather was better. But if the weather on race day is really good, that's all that matters for me. But that's pretty much my little training update for my last long run for the 26.2 of Donna, which is marathon number 4 for me. So my next call-in will likely be after that race, although I am doing a local 5K here, so I may call in before that. We shall see. Again, this is Shannon, Girl Scout Soul from Orlando, Florida. Thanks.
Hi, Kevin and all you extra milers. I hope you all had a lovely Christmas and a really happy New Year. This is Jane calling from Wales. I've listened to the latest episode, and it was great hearing about everybody going to Atlanta doing the Jeff Galloway 13.1. I really enjoyed listening to all your experiences. Why I'm calling is an answer to Nate's query on treadmill running. I gotta be honest, I really don't enjoy running on the treadmill. I sort of only go on there if it's snowy or icy. But one thing I have found, and I don't know if this is going to be of any use to Nate, is I try pyramid interval sessions. I warm up, and then I sort of like run for a minute, walk for a minute, and then I go up to the next one, run for 2 minutes, walk for a minute, run for 3 minutes, walk for a minute, run for 4 minutes, and then walk for a minute, and then of course I pyramid down, so it would be 4-1, 3-1, 2-1, 1-1 again. And this can be repeated as required. Another idea is to choose a time or a distance and speed run. I find it easier to choose a time, so I usually go a bit faster for 3 minutes, recover, and then the next 3 minutes I'll go to ordinary pace. I hope this is of use to you, mate.
All right, here we go. We're recording. We're live at the Fillmore East. Kevin will get that joke. Hey, this is Chris. Yeah, I'm driving around. Buddy and I are going to return a movie. watched that movie, that tank movie, Fury. Not very good. But, and I like war movies too. This really wasn't that good. But anyhow, we got, 3 feet of snow up here where I live. And then we get another foot and a half on top of that. So the snow banks are up high, 4 or 5 feet tall, and, no place to put the snow, and all the roads are kind of narrow and that sort of thing, and it keeps coming. But, you know, it's February in New England. Kind of puts a cramp in my running, well, my running outside, because it's not that I care that it's cold, 0 degrees and a ton of snow. It's just that it's dangerous, right? There's no sidewalks. Nobody's plowed the sidewalks, and the roads are super narrow, and there's a ton of snow everywhere, so it's just difficult, especially at night with the short days. But the days are getting longer. They're getting longer. And poor Buddy, it's over his head. And when we got the snow, it snowed for like 2 days straight. It was sort of a blizzard, you know, with the high winds and the... It was super cold. It was like 0 degrees. So we've got that really, really fluffy snow. So it's like quicksand, right? So Buddy jumps into it and he disappears up to his snout, you know? So we can't really run it. It's thigh deep on me, and it's over his head, and it's soft like quicksand. So unless you had a really big set of snowshoes, you can't really run it. So I've been hitting the treadmill, and I was curious to see how people answer my treadmill question. I'll give you one trick that I use for treadmills when I'm working out in the gym is I use, what I do, if I have like a weights workout or even if I'm doing a run workout, is I'll just jump on the treadmill in my, stocking feet. So just in my socks, if your gym lets you do that. And I'll make it really slow. So, you know, a mile an hour or two slower than my normal running pace. Because the point is not really to get a workout. The point is to feel what it feels like to run barefoot, right? So you want to feel the belt with your feet and feel how your foot is hitting the belt and just sort of enjoy it, you know, relax into it and feel your feet, let your feet spread out without the shoes and just feel it and go super slow so you're not slamming your feet down on the belt and injuring yourself, but you're getting that nice form with the hips forward and the hands high and a rapid foot plant and landing right in the soft spot of the palm of your foot there. So that's one of the tricks I use. And I just do that for like 5 minutes. And then I get off and do my weights workout or whatever. It's a great way to warm up. And again, the point isn't to really to run. It's to feel your form without the shoes and to feel your feet hitting the belt and let them spread out a little bit. It really makes your feet stronger. So if you have Achilles or plantar fasciitis problems, that's a great thing to mix into your workouts a couple times a week. All right. Hope everybody else is doing well. We'll see you in March, I guess. Cheers.
Well, hello, Kevin, and all you extra milers. This is Just Norm, and I am running along the beloved Triple C. And I think I missed the last episode in terms of making a submission. So I don't really know where I left you. In any event, I am, for those of you that don't listen to my podcast and already know, I'm registered for the Gasparilla 15K Distance Classic on February the, I believe it's the 16th. The 15th or 6th, the 15th I think it is. And I'm also registered for the Florida Fort DeSoto Beach Half Marathon on March 22nd, if memory serves me correct. My running is going well. It certainly could be more episodes of running during the week, but it is what it is. I am getting out and getting anywhere from 4 to 5 to 6 to 8 to 9 mile runs, which is my comfort zone. I'm going to look for a 10 or 11 miler this coming weekend, which is going to be the weekend of February the 6th and 7th. And other than that, I think I'm gonna keep my submission very brief because of a couple things. Number one, I know a lot of people want to submit, and we should keep these things to 1 to 2 to 3 minutes. Number two, I don't have a lot to report. I really don't, but I knew I hadn't submitted, and I missed you guys, and I wanted to do so. Number three, I'm a little bit out of whack in my head in speaking to you because at the same time, I'm recording a podcast for my regular walk breaks episodes. And so I had a whole theme going, which I completely lost, and then I wanted to practice the dual submission technology. So there's that. Anyway, I love all you guys, and I hope you all enjoy your extra miles.
Okay, hello, this is Carlos. I am on the beach in Cuyera, about to start an hour of running. Turning off the screen to save batteries. Workout resumed. I see a man with a dog off leash. I have noticed that the dogs here aren't quite as well behaved as the dogs in Canada. I'm not sure what that's all about. I guess they don't have leash laws and the dogs run a little more freer here. Here goes. Hola.
Hola, buenos días.
Yeah, the dogs are a lot further away from their masters here. There is a wide expanse of beach. I don't think that dog saw me. It was on the other side of a sand dune. I'm running on the damp, flat sand between the breakers and the loose, dry sand. The weather is improving here, having had about a week of stormy weather, almost a week. I've been in Spain for a week, running pretty much every day, and I have been away from home since, I think it was 2 weeks and a few days. Yeah. Can't remember exactly. I spent about a week in England before I came here. You can probably hear the wind. I'm running on the dry sand now between two beaches. There's like a breakwater up the middle, and there's another bay on the other side. This is around a kilometer from the beginning of my run. Pretty soon I'll be on the better sand to run on. Yep, this is it. This is the good stuff. So, Kevin, in anticipation of your next Extra Mile podcast, I'm sending you this submission. I think you probably have already put out a show, but if not, you can put this one out as well. I think I've probably got about 3, maybe 4 minutes of recording here for you. And because I am running quite hard, I'm finding it quite difficult to maintain a smooth cadence in my voice. So, without further ado, I will hand you back to your other subscribers. So, and your other submissions, I guess we would be called. From the beach in Cuyera, Spain, I bid you adios, amigos, y hasta la próxima.
Good afternoon, all you extra milers and Kevin. It is Friday, January 30th. Taking a walk break from my afternoon run. It's about 2:30 in the afternoon, southeastern Pennsylvania, and it's cool in the 30s. The wind is a bit blustery, and temperatures are supposed to drop the next couple of days, and even next week it's going to be up and down, but very cold. I don't have anything I'm training for. I don't have any milestones out there, any 5Ks or 10Ks. But we're looking for one to do this year. Just not sure where we'll land on that. Just enjoying the winter running. Backed off a little bit. I did a speed workout a number of weeks ago, and that seemed to set my body off, so it wanted me to pull back, so I've done that. So no formal training, but enjoying the crisp weather we're having. Looking forward to warmer weather, but getting out either in the snow or after snow and enjoying the scenery and the quiet. So not a lot to report here from southeastern Pennsylvania, but that we're doing okay and plugging along. Trying to read a couple of books on form and technique, see if I can improve strength and avoid some injuries. Other than that, I wish you all well. Good to hear you all on the Extra Mile podcast. Take care.
There you go, episode 134 of the Extra Mile podcast. Good stuff again. So listen, treadmill tips. Now first of all, I'm hoping it stays 50 to 60 degrees like today, and I can stay as far away from that treadmill as I can. But that's not realistic. I've been on it 3 or 4 times this winter already. And I can use any tip I can get. So thanks to our buddy Jim from Council Bluffs, Iowa, who I think is just a machine, you know? He puts it on forward and just does it. I've tried everything, and I think the only thing that helps me a little bit is shorter distances. You know, I typically will only do 3 or 4 miles on the treadmill because that's all my brain will take. Shorter intervals, slower pace. I do have a TV, so I watch TV, listen to iPods. Sometimes I watch a movie. Anything to take my mind off of it, which is pretty much what Nick over at Facebook said. He listens to audiobooks, podcasts, and he says that paying attention to those takes his mind off of everything else and makes the miles go faster. So that seems to be the consensus. It's boring. Probably nothing you can do to make it enjoyable. Just try to take your mind off it in some way, huh? What else? Those of you who listen to that other podcast, the Galloway Deal, will know that I put together the last episode of that, at least for a while. So, a couple of things with that in mind. First of all, I'm assuming that that will give me a lot more time to devote to this podcast. So, as long as the submissions continue to rain down upon me, hopefully I'll be able to put these out in a more regular basis. And secondly, unless something changes, it is Jeff, Chris, and my intention to do another rendition of that podcast. So with that in mind, if you've got any thoughts about how we can make this second version even better than the first, I'd appreciate it. And I don't necessarily mean making the podcast better. I obviously don't want to put out a piece of crap, but I'm really looking for more ideas of how to make the whole experience better. For example, through no fault of my own, I think that I just happened to stay at the best hotel available at that price for this event. I've spoken to several of you who stayed at other hotels and gotten the download on the goods and the bads and the uglies in some cases, and also spoken at length with my buddy Jim, who stayed with me at the hotel that I stayed at, and I honestly think that was the best. And to that end, I was thinking, suppose I could negotiate a good price for a block of rooms just for us, huh? So now we're all at the same hotel. Not bad, huh? I've also been toying with an idea for this podcast. I've had a lot of fun recently when I've been able to remember some of you all having a race coming up and interacting with you right before the race, catching up right after it, and in a few cases, actually interacting during the event. Selfishly, it's helped me. I have a blast. And more importantly, I kind of am hoping that it's a plus for you guys, knowing somebody's paying attention, watching what all your hard work is doing. So, to that end, I was thinking, I wonder if there's a way for me to put a calendar on our website and allow you all to add your races to it, as well as any information you want to share. Maybe a Facebook page or Twitter. I'm not so sure. Well, I am sure. There's no reason to put things like cell numbers out there so people can text you. if that's the way you want to interact, then I don't want to, I just don't feel comfortable with people doing that. I've interacted with friends via cell phones, two of them who are listening to me right now, but I didn't put my cell number out on the internet. If you have close enough friends that you feel comfortable doing that, I think it's a lot of fun. But anyway, I thought maybe a Google Calendar. I gotta play with that. See how difficult that would be to let you guys get into that and add your races so that we all know who's got what coming up, huh? Just a thought. So that's all I got today. Particularly thanks for downloading the show, giving us the last hour, hour and a half of your life, and everyone who took the time to submit. Thank you very much. So until next time, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Thanks for joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast. Please visit our website at www.theextramilepodcast.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to send us your audio comments to let us know how your training is going, then please send an audio file to theextramilepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast.
What do you call an ordinary day for Paul McCartney and family? You've got a farm, I know that.
For me?
Yeah.
I don't know, really. Get up.
Good start.
Go for a jog.
Good.
Another good start. Come home after the jog.
See, now there was my problem. It's go home after the job.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.